On your worst day, when you're feeling down, when you've absolutely had it, there is nothing quite like comedy.
Between Netflix, Comedy Central, other commercial outlets, and people who post specials independently, there is no shortage. But how do you find the ones worth watching?
We're hoping we can help. On this episode of Pop Culture Happy Hour, we're recommending 8 stand-up specials, and we're going to play you some good comedy along the way. I'm Linda Holmes.
And I'm Stephen Thompson. We've got a lot of ground to cover, and we'll get started after this very serious break.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Wix.com. A web platform for creating your own professional website. With Wix, whether it's your first time creating a website or you're a longtime pro, you can do it yourself. Choose from hundreds of stunning templates or start from scratch with drag-and-drop technology and powerful web features. Join over 125 million people already using Wix to create their own websites. Go to Wix.com to create yours today. So what will you create?
Welcome back. You just met NPR Music's Stephen Thompson. Also with us is Glenn Weldon of the NPR Arts Desk. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Linda.
And in our fourth chair today, our producer emeritus. Now with our sibling podcast, Ask Me Another, from New York, Mike Katzeff. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
It is great here. We are so happy to have you with us. We decided that we really wanted this episode to be jam-packed with recommendations. So we're going to jump right in. I don't think anybody recommends more comedy on the show than Glenn. So, Glenn, I'm going to start with you. Get us started.
It's so hard because I can only pick two. And ultimately, I picked two guys who, it turns out, are queer immigrants. Didn't plan it that way. Wouldn't have planned it that way, but it just happens to be that way. So there is this movement now of queer comics who are changing the game. They are carving out spaces of their own. People like friend of the show Guy Branum and friend of the show Joel Kim Booster and Rhea Butcher and Cameron Esposito are going into spaces that are just comedy clubs. And because there is a long tradition of queer comics doing material for queer audiences.
Right.
And I don't want to dismiss that, but what's happening here is fundamentally different. So the first guy I picked is Julio Torres. You have to picture this guy. He is a slight wisp of a thing, platinum blonde guy who comes out and he exhibits a kind of control of the audience with confidence. Listen, and I think you'll pick out what I mean. One of the first things he mentions when he comes out is that he's from El Salvador.
I am a vegan and I am so sorry. In my experience, the hardest part about being vegan is all of the apologizing. People ask me if I miss meat or dairy. I mean, I miss being liked. I don't miss cheese, but I do miss getting asked to do things. I miss my friends and I miss my family.
Did you hear those pauses?
Yes,
yeah.
Long.
That complete control over the audience. Mm-hmm. It is a kind of confidence because he comes out and like he's like the twink Mitch Hedberg. He comes out and he is just tiny and he's got a little sparkle on his cheekbones, a little glitter on his cheekbones, and he's presenting one thing that you think is going to go another way, and he's playing with the audience expectations in a way, because you think, oh, he's struggling for the word, or he's losing it, and he maintains this thing in such complete control. That's from his stand-up special on Comedy Central, Stand Up Presents, which goes on and off that channel, but you can find it. It's always streaming online if you have cable provider.
So tell them again the name.
Julio Torres.
All right. And you can find that on Comedy Central. All right. Stephen Thompson, why don't you hit us with your first pick?
Well, I've been familiar with the name Hari Kondabolu. We've talked about him a little bit. He's put out several albums. He's been a writer for W. Kamau Bell. He made a movie called The Problem with Apu, which we've talked about a little bit on this show. But he's somebody who's always been on the wind, but not somebody I've like sat down and really just spent an hour with him. Mm-hmm. And he has a new Netflix special called Warn Your Relatives, in which he mixes a lot of, you know, topical and political humor with just like goofy, stand-up-y, kind of observational. There are a few bits in his special that are like about airport travel.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you just think like, oh, God, airport stuff. But then it's funny. And I just found myself just kind of emitting these like barky laughs kind of just throughout, which, you know, that's what you want. You want to laugh at these things.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's also just a certain amount of storytelling and talking very affectionately about his immigrant parents. And in this clip, in which he describes playing a show to about 20 people and bombing.
Show's going terribly, and all of a sudden I hear someone heckling me in the back of the room, right? This guy's like, why is he yelling so much? He's like the Brown Lewis Black. Why is he yelling so much? And I'm like, who is heckling me right now? And I look into the audience, and it was Tracy Morgan. Now, I don't like being heckled, but if you're gonna heckle me, you better be Tracy Morgan. It was a delightful diminishment of my life's work. And after the show, Tracy comes up to me and he's like, hey, can I give you some advice? And I'm like, yes, I would love to write a future joke about what you're about to say.
That is Hari Kondabolu from his Netflix special, Warn Your Relatives. It is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So, Mike, what is your first pick?
So my first pick is Ali Wong's new special, Hard Knock Wife.
Yes.
A lot of people probably first got to know Ali Wong from her previous special, which came out in 2016, Baby Cobra. She's based in L.A. She, is, at least for a time, I'm not sure if she still is, was in the writer's room for the ABC sitcom Fresh Off the Boat. She's half Chinese, half Vietnamese, and so a lot of her comedy talks about that part of her life, though it's not the definition of her comedy. But Ali Wong, like, really, like, her profile exploded after Baby Cobra.
Yeah.
In part because she was 7 months pregnant when she took the stage for that special. And a little bit of that dissonance between her talking about her sex life and marrying her husband and aspiring housewife living a life of leisure. She famously says in that special, I don't want to lean in, I want to lie down. And so she sort of, like, deploys this onstage persona that is, like, what I would describe as like the seething anger and then unleashing like this torrent of like spitting fury. But it's sort of like this character that's driven by id and like expressing all these inner thoughts that people might otherwise hold in. And this new special, Hard Knock Wife, kind of picks up where the last one left off. It's 2 years later. She's had her first kid. And interestingly, she's visibly pregnant in this one too. But she never addresses it in this special. Instead, she's mostly focusing on like the aftermath of her first kid and really flips the script on the realities of having a baby. So I have this clip where she sort of addresses a lot of that, especially like she's talking a lot about like the balance of work and family.
A lot of people like to ask me, Ali, how on earth do you balance family and career? Men never get asked that question because they don't. My husband occasionally changes diapers, and when people hear that, oh my God, confetti everywhere! I cannot believe that your husband changes diapers! What a doting modern father. Lucky you! When my baby girl was first born, I would do skin-on-skin contact every day to bond with her. She on my chest. Where's my confetti at?
So that's Ali Wong. Obviously, you can see she has, similarly to Julio Torres, like this great command of pacing, long pauses. She really toggles between different characters, kind of the stereotypical character, these judgmental friends, her mother, and then really explodes out her own id and kind of seething anger of the reality of parenthood and being a mother.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Mike. So my first pick, I wound up picking two specials that are both structured to be about jokes themselves. The first is Mike Birbiglia's Thank God for Jokes, which is a Netflix special from a while back. Birbiglia, if you've never seen him, he's been on This American Life. He's kind of an unassuming middle-aged dude. And he does this special, which is structured around his hosting the Gotham Awards, which is a film award show. And he uses that as a story about what kind of jokes are okay to tell, when is humor appropriate. And that's kind of the frame. He bends that frame and hangs all these different pieces of comedy on it. So he can talk about, you know, going to the doctor, doing yoga, eating nuts on an airplane. There's a little bit about eating a sandwich with nut bread on an airplane. And in this clip, he's talking about being arrested and put in the back of a police car.
And I'm nervous because I'm afraid of cops. I always thought I was most afraid of bears, but at least if a bear kills you, everyone gets mad at the bear. If a cop kills you, 30% of Americans are like, it's a hard job. You know what I mean? Like if a bear kills you, they don't have a bear press conference where all the bears stand behind the murderous bear in solidarity and the bear commissioner steps forward and he's like, he's usually a pretty good bear. He usually just eats honey and is unaware of bees. But cops will kill you. That's like on the news and everything. And so...
So this bit, you know, as you can see, it is a pretty intense bit about police brutality, but it is hung on a frame that makes sense for him and for this special because it all comes out of a story about hitting rock bottom, which comes from a story about being a broke comic, which all kind of ties back to this idea of the circumstances of joke telling. So what I love about it is what makes it seem more like a one-man show almost than a stand-up special purely is that it all keeps circling back to this idea of hosting the Gotham Awards. And it's structured really carefully so that it has a narrative. It has a kind of fully round narrative. And it's really wonderful. And again, it's on Netflix and it's called Thank God for Jokes.
And is unaware of bees.
Yeah.
That's my favorite
yeah.
part. That's my favorite part.
That's a funny bit. All right. Glenn Weldon, hit me again.
All right. This is Solomon Giorgio, also from his Comedy Central stand-up presents special. Now, Solomon Giorgio, another queer immigrant, and he exhibits a completely different kind of confidence. And there's even a bit of swagger. He's a very tall, black dude, usually very well-dressed, and he kind of prowls the stage. And his album is called Homo Negro Superior, and there's a little bit of that in there. You get this fully earned confidence.
I want to start off by letting you know that I am gay as hell. I'm great at it. I do a great job. I was sitting there being black. And I was like, you know what? Give me another thing. I got it. Come on over. I'm also African, thoroughbred from the source. Thank you so much. Thank you. I came to America when I was a little diva. It's also the first time I ever saw a white person. And my immediate thought was, it's a black ghost.
So you get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
He's just so... That voice could come from nobody else.
Uh-huh.
Same thing with Julio Torres. That's how you can tell when somebody's arrived. It's their stuff. It is them personified, them distilled into incredibly well-constructed jokes. So that's Solomon Giorgio on his Comedy Central Stand-Up Presents special.
All right. Thank you, Glenn Weldon. Stephen Thompson, pick number two.
Maria Bamford.
Yay!
A Glenn Weldon favorite.
Yep.
Has done a bunch of voice work on shows I like. She's been on Adventure Time. She's been on BoJack Horseman. She's just sort of been around. I have never actually sat down and watched one of her deeply, deeply strange comedy specials, including Old Baby, which came out last year on Netflix. The Netflix description calls it a roving comedy special. It also has a rating of 3 stars, which I would imagine is 50% 5 stars and 50% 1 star. And this is either your thing, Glenn Weldon, or it is not your thing, all the people who gave it 1 star.
Yeah.
So it starts out, it's gimmick. A lot of these have a gimmick, have a framing device that kind of wraps around. And in this one, she starts out, she's performing in the mirror. And then it kind of cuts to where she's performing to like one guy and a couple of pugs. And then she's performing in like a sparsely attended bowling alley and a little less sparsely attended bookstore until the end, in which she's playing to a full theater. If you can't deal with the immense discomfort of the in very, very, very by design sparse laughter, kind of nervous, uncomfortable laughter, because you can hear each individual laugher.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you want something a little more straightforward in this special, there's a solid 20 minutes
yeah.
at the end. Once she's in front of kind of a shiny blue curtain, it's a little more of a stand-up special. And that's where you get stuff like this bit in which she tells the story of a Hollywood scout sort of quote-unquote discovering her hometown of Duluth, Minnesota. And the scout has made her parents a lot of promises about putting everyone in the town on TV.
And then what happened is nothing. And I was left at, I told my mom and she was, honey, but they came to supper twice and they said that I was very talented and your father had a gift and that everyone at the lake could play a part. And, oh, mother, we just need to go to each person and tell them they've actually had one of the most authentic show business experiences you can have. Which is being given the full ghost. You don't know what ghosting is? That's when someone declares their undying love for you and then disappears off the face of the earth. Can't happen in a small town. The person will just say, I see you over there.
That is Maria Bamford.
Yeah, love it. If you're thinking that you've recognized that voice but you're not familiar with her stand-up, you might have seen her as the Target Lady.
Sure.
In
yes.
The great Target Lady commercials.
She's got another special where she just performs for her parents.
Yeah.
And it's just so good.
Do you know what that one's called?
Yeah, that one's called The Special, Special, Special.
Oh, it's so good.
So Maria Bamford, Old Baby.
Thank you very much. Mike Katzeff, what is your number two pick?
Okay, so I'm going to go with someone that is not a discovery whatsoever. It's Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, that guy.
And,
oh,
heard of that him. Guy from the B-movie. And also
yes.
Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Jerry Seinfeld
and
from the
frickin' Seinfeld, the show named after Jerry Seinfeld. I'm talking about this for a couple reasons. I feel like everyone, for the most part, knows what Jerry Seinfeld is all about. But for Netflix, I feel like it's an interesting thing because he's one of many people, like I mentioned, Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock, Amy Schumer, who were sort of given carte blanche. They're wooed with a lot of money to come over to Netflix and kind of do whatever they want. And so in this case, I feel like Netflix has sort of allowed a lot of comedians to kind of break format, to kind of create like these bookending sketches or create a moody intro or something like that that kind of changes the conceit of just a normal stand-up on stage. And so the special I'm talking about for Jerry Seinfeld is Jerry Before Seinfeld. It's basically this hybrid of a comedy special and a documentary. And it sort of shows like that this form can be a little bit more malleable. And it's not just Seinfeld doing new jokes. He's actually performing at the Comic Strip Live here in New York City, which is the club where he first was booked. And so a lot of the special is him doing a mix of new jokes, talking about his life and kind of walking us through his childhood, but also performing old jokes. And then interspersed throughout this is a lot of documentary footage of his family and home movies and old footage of him doing stand-up when he was younger. And so the clip I want to play is basically this autobiographical clip where he basically is calling out, I'm going to give you my very first joke.
And I only had one joke that worked, which I'm going to do for you right now. And if you ever think yourself that you might want to someday do comedy, this is not the way you do it. Don't ever say, I'm going to tell you a joke now. So I'm left-handed. Left-handed people do not like that the word left is so often associated with negative things. Two left feet, left-handed compliment. What are we having for dinner? Leftovers. You go to a party, there's nobody there. Where'd everybody go? They left. That was it.
As he sort of says, like, it's an okay joke. But for his first joke, it kind of gives us like a glimpse into the Seinfeld then and sort of a glimpse into the process of how he became the Seinfeld that we know now. I think it's just this interesting look into why Seinfeld kind of became who he is. And overall, I think it's cool to see him sort of pull the curtain back a little bit, revise these old jokes that he did, put them in new context, and sort of break the format of a normal comedy special. And I hope other people kind of keep doing that.
Thank you, Mike. So my second pick is a special from, Glenn mentioned Cameron Esposito earlier. Cameron Esposito has recently released a special called Rape Jokes, and it is on her site, CameronEsposito.com. She just released it independently to raise money for RAIN, R-A-I-N-N, which is an advocacy group fighting sexual violence. And you just can donate if you want. It is on her site. Now, Rape Jokes is a very imposing title for a special. That's the point. What she is trying to do is she calls it a special about sexual assault from a survivor's perspective. But that sounds much heavier than the special actually is. It's very thoughtful, but it's also really funny. So the clip that I want to play is her talking about, again, just like Birbiglia, she structures it around talking about jokes in large part. So this is a clip of her talking about comics who feel like PC culture won't let me say the things that I want to say.
Because it's not like me. I'm trying to talk about sexual assault. It's not like that's a new topic in comedy. We've had rape jokes forever, but it's just like those jokes have usually been like, rape! That's the full joke. And an audience, because that's a taboo word, will have a response. And then that comic will hear that response. Ooh, I've done a good joke. And then they'll tell that joke for 2 decades. And then one day at a show, somebody will be like, do you know what? I didn't prefer that joke because you didn't have a punchline. And it wasn't funny. And I paid to be here. And then that comic will go, this is censorship. I am being censored. And that's the wrong word. Feedback. You've gotten feedback. I know how to identify feedback because I've been getting it for the entirety of my career.
One of the things that you can get from that is Cameron Esposito, to me, is one of the people who everything she says is funny. Mm-hmm. I just think her voice is funny. She has a great yell and also a great whisper. Mm-hmm. She's wonderful at modulating. And again, she is a great controller of tone. She goes up, she goes down. There's a bit at the very beginning when she talks about how alongside these stories that are emerging of people's experience with harassment and abuse, there is what she calls a sniveling Nosferatu right next to them saying, what will I do if I can't talk about her sweater? And it's a really, she does a funny voice, but it's also, it's broad and weird. I think she is a genius comic. And I think if you haven't had a chance to see her, by all means, this is a good special to see. And it's a masterful example of somebody who clearly has something she wants to say. Mm-hmm. It is advocacy. She cares about this. She's talking about it. But it's still really, really funny without giving an inch of what she's trying to say. Mm-hmm. Cameron Esposito, the straightforwardly titled Rape Jokes.
And that's only on her website?
That's on her website. All right. So this is a great example of when you should come and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH or tweet us at PCHH. Share some of your favorite comedy. That brings us to the end of our show. You can follow our buddy Mike, as always, at Mike Katziff. Thanks to all of you guys for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks to all of you for listening. We'll be back here on Friday. And if you have a second and you're so inclined, please give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps more folks to find the show. We will see you right back here on Friday.
The news can feel like an echo chamber. You listen to podcasts to get that perspective shift. So travel with NPR's Rough Translation. Follow familiar conversations in unfamiliar parts of the world and get a new perspective on home. Rough Translation. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.